Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm going to bring it back. Well, it's about Mark Dobbs, along with my lovely wife, LaShawn Dobbs, and this is, she done messed it up.
Well, our special guest tonight, she's telling us she can't hear us. Are you able to hear us now, Lakia?
Just messed up my whole introduction.
I know, I really did.
You know, still can't hear us?
Let's make sure we're able to be heard first. Okay. Let's see.
People just cracking up already. Look at that. Look at that.
So let's see if we can. Hello, everyone. Is everyone able to hear us?
She logged back in.
Can everyone hear us okay?
Yeah, let us know about it.
Okay. Awesome.
Good.
We want to make sure our guest is able to hear us tonight. We're going to go ahead and invite you in on tonight, Lakia. I messed up. Okay. Here we go. Let's see.
Here we go.
Hey.
Okay. There we go.
Hello. You're on the hair. How are you today?
Yes, we can hear you. Are you able to hear us okay? A slight delay.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. How are you guys?
We are wonderful. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Well,
awesome.
I guess we're going to get on started because my wife messed up my intro.
Oh, I messed up his intro, everyone. Okay, we can do it over, though.
Nah.
You want to try it?
It's okay. We're just gonna go on now. Next week. Well,
okay.
Tonight, we have with us Lakia Griffin, author of Go Forth, Amazing You, and co-founder of Paint the World, Amazing You. Sounds cool.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us on tonight. Would you like to start off by sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. First of all, I just want to say thank you both for just giving me the opportunity to be able to spread the word of what God has downloaded in me regarding domestic violence in my life. I'm an author. I'm also an LPN. I live in Connecticut. This was my first debut novel that I have written, but I know God has more for me to write. So hopefully I'll be using you guys for the next time. But I'm humbled. I'm humbled to have this opportunity to talk about what I went through, but also coming out of it and how I'm living, you know, an abundant life that what God has desired us all to live, even coming through going through the abuse of domestic violence and sexual abuse at a young age.
Hmm. Well, I can't say awesome to the old, back to the bad stuff, but awesome that you're coming forth now. I see your book right there in the background. You're a different person now. That you,
right.
I guess you are an amazing you. So what inspired you to write your first one? That title.
Well, what inspired me to write the book is it helped me to actually free myself. Longer want to be held hostage, and I knew that I had something to say. I knew that people, we talk about domestic violence as a whole, being a victim, but why not talk about coming out of it and being victorious? So that's what the book is about. It's about how you need to learn how to forgive Mm-hmm. You need to learn how to forgive yourself, number one, because I wrestled with that, not forgiving myself. You learn how to have strength and to be freed and to trust again, because I'm married again. So I had to learn how to trust. Mm-hmm. I had to learn not to bring my past relationship into my new relationship because it started to take a toll. So the title, Go Forth Amazing You, you already know that you're an amazing person. You're the apple of God's eye. So why not have that title? And going forth means meaning that you're walking into your destiny. You're no longer living in your past. You're no longer being hindered from things that kept you, not just the domestic abuse of whatever you're going through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be molestation. It could be verbal abuse. It could be whatever tries to hinders you. You can come out of it, walk out of it, and do not look back. Just go forth in what God has called you to be and who you are.
That's right.
Amen. I want to ask, before Lakia even goes into this more, those of you who are tuning in, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and invite others to go ahead and tune in. We never know what someone is going through, and sometimes we kind of push back from sharing and inviting people because we look at our circle and we think everyone has it all together. But I'm going to, you know, ask you all to please go and share, because we never know what domestic what's going on in the lives of others. And anyone who is in ministry needs this information, because we minister to all people from all kinds of backgrounds, and we never know who God is going to have cross our path. And we want to be able to reference this book to them. We want to be able to give them any information that Lakia shares with us on tonight that will be able to help them. So I encourage you to please share this broadcast with others on your page, please.
Amen.
So we're going to, okay, yes.
I did have one question.
Sure.
Since you're remarried again, did you ever find yourself like going backwards? You know, like old things maybe popped up in your head, or maybe something that your husband didn't remind you of something that happened before?
Yeah, absolutely. My husband, like a loving, you know, huggy, kissy type of person.
Mm.
And when he would try to come and embrace me, like with the hug or with the kiss, I was very standoffish, because just the effect of him coming at me kind of just put me back into, like, okay, a fist is coming next.
Mm.
It wasn't that I was embracing his hug. It wasn't like I was embracing his kiss. All I thought about was him coming at me, either with a word of something that was going to be bad, or just, you know, or just a fit. I really, and when I say that, you know, letting go of your past and coming into something, I really thought I was his. I really thought I was totally delivered from my past going into my new marriage. But things, you know, that he tried to show me, or things that was happening in our dynamics and our family as far as, you know, being a loving family, I kind of shied away from that because I always expected the worst, if you get what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, you totally have to be healed. And I thank God that I have a strong husband who understood what I was going through and how he came into my life when it was very dark. Mm. He came into my life when I needed someone. And like I said, I thought I was delivered. I thought I was healed. But his patience and his love is what got me through, not just in him being spiritual and me knowing God. It was a time that, you know, I would ask God why a lot. Like, you know, why was I the child who got molested? You know, why was, you know, why I didn't have the father in my life, you know, and then going from one thing to another and then getting involved in a relationship that was not good for me. My abuse started when I was in high school. All the signs were there. Every sign was there, but I chose not to, at that time, I chose not to you know, see the signs. My mom begged me to leave the relationship. The verbal abuse started. The meanness started in high school. So it's not, you know, we look at like, okay, this is a relationship that started in your adulthood. No, it starts very young. And parents and young teenage girls need to know this. Can't nobody tell, and I'm talking to the teenage girls who are online or those who may come on afterwards, know the difference of real love. You shouldn't even be focused on a relationship in high school anyway. Your thoughts should be on college. Your thoughts should be on something else. Your thoughts should be in church if you're raised in church. Get your mind off of that dude, because in the long run, it's not going to mean you any good, especially if there are signs of abuse there, signs of verbal abuse, signs of things that are not good. You know the difference between a loving touch and a bad touch.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of it. I'm telling you now, get out of it, because it holds you captive. I wanted to be somebody else. I was in a dark place. But here's the thing, and I tell people all the time when I talk at my speaking engagements, I thought I had enough power to change them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all think when we're in something like that. Oh, God has equipped me with enough knowledge. He has equipped me with enough word. You know, I know the Bible. I know how to pray. I thought I had to change him. But you don't. All you have enough of is to change yourself and to pray for that other and pray that he gets out of his mindset. Because that's a spirit. That's a spirit that's there to take you out and also to take the other person out, because you got to look at the abuser as well. There's something going on in their mindset that makes them feel that they have that much control over another person.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. I love the way that you pointed out even over the abuser, because a lot of times we see the victim, but we don't understand that the abuser is also a victim. They're a victim of something that has happened in their own lives, and that's why they're trying to take control of another person, because if they can control someone else, then they feel like they have control over whatever it is that happened to them in their past.
Absolutely.
Can you please share with us some of the signs that you experienced that this was just going in the wrong direction?
Some of the signs were, you know, definitely the verbal abuse. You're ugly, you know, you're black, you'll never be anything.
Mm.
Nobody will ever want you. The open hand slaps, the pull of the hair. I remember one incident where I actually got soda thrown on me. And another incident where I was actually barefoot outside in like a foot of snow, locked out of the house because he locked out. Just different things like in the physical realm, but there was also things in the spiritual realm that was just like evil. It was just like an evil connection. And that, you know, that I can go into more about that. You know, some people wouldn't understand that, but just like the physical abuse, that's what it was. It was specifically the name calling, the spitting of the face many of times. That was horrible. And I know that it was God because of all of that. And you may have you hear other domestic violence stories, and some of them are worse than what I went through, but it's all on how the person handles it and takes it on. Domestic violence put me in a very, very dark place, a place where at times I thought about suicide. I thought about, you know, not just being on this earth.
Yeah.
Because how can there be love? How can anyone love you after this? And then I also thought about, I didn't like men, you know, not saying that my sexual orientation changed, but I just did not like men because I associated that bad relationship to every man.
Hmm.
Yes.
So, wow. Look, so what would you say to the ones who's like living in the why? you know, why this and why that. Mm.
You guys are going right in here.
Oh. And I said, why? What would you say to the ones who's living in the why? Hope she heard.
Well,
oh, dear.
Living in a white is an eye-opener. I would tell anybody who's in a domestic violence relationship to get out of it. It's just not healthy. Go get some type of help, especially if you're married. I'm not telling anybody to get a divorce or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that if a relationship is not healthy, there has to be some type of counseling. There has to be some type of intervening, coming in. Just do not take a break. Get out of it, especially if you're married. Being married is totally different. But if you're just in a relationship and it's not ordained by God, then you just need to get out of it and just go. But I'll tell any married couple, go and seek counseling. It's okay to counseling. It's okay to get spiritual counseling. It's okay mm-hmm. to have both. But there has to be some type of counseling, and then you guys can decide on what the next step is. You never stay in a relationship that is unhealthy. Never.
Amen. I'm sorry. Did you say something?
No, I was just saying okay.
I love the fact that you have come forward and you have written this book, Lakia, because I don't know if – I know for me, I've heard it so many times before. Black women don't go through domestic violence because we're too strong and we wouldn't take that. You know, we hear all these things that people spit out about black women and domestic violence, how it would not happen to us. So I think that it's refreshing that – you have come forth and written this book to show other black women who are hiding, you know, and I'm not a pro-black person, but I'm just pointing out the fact that a lot of African-American women, they feel like they have to hide the abuse that's going on in their lives instead of speaking out against it, because they feel like it makes them weak. So they just stay in and they just deal with it. What would you say to someone who comes to you and they're too afraid to come out of that situation? What would you say to them?
Well, I definitely will, definitely be an ear and let them, talk it out and then give my advice. And my advice would be to my sister who's in something like that, come out of it. I'm here for you. Let me show you the steps on it. It's not easy getting out. When I left with nothing. I left on a prayer saying, God, if he gets up in the morning and go to work, I'm out of here. I packed up so quick where my clothes were still in the dresser drawer. I borrowed money to actually move. God gave me favor with a family. So what I would say is that spiritually, you have to step out on faith. There's not enough of us out here willing to take our sisters in, and that's what the foundation is about, to have a way out. It's not easy leaving, especially when your abuser has taken everything from you and you don't have anything to, you don't have any money or anything like that. We need more people to step out and have homes for people who want to get away, who need to get away. This needs to be nationwide. All I can say and what I would desire to do, I would take my sister in. I would take my sister in. I would try to give her spirituality, give her faith, and try to work with her, get her on the right path of establishing her own. And I'm not going to say the process is easy because mm-hmm. it's not. All those things start to factor in. The fear starts to come in. The fear of being alone and abandoned. At times, I thought about going back because I'm like, okay, well, at least you know, I wouldn't have to go to this shelter, or, you know, my kids wouldn't have to have wear other people's clothes. I thought about all of that, and all that sets in. But you know what? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that gets you through that, and people who have the heart that I have to help people. We just need more people. We need more people like that to help others.
Amen. That's so true. I remember, well, I too had been in a domestic violence marriage. It was my first marriage. I was about 18 years old, and I can relate with that because I wanted to leave, but the whole time, the reason why I kept feeling like I was stuck was because I didn't have anything established of my own. All the finances, everything was on his end. And it was like, okay, if I leave, my daughter and I will have nothing. Like, I have nowhere to go. And sometimes, and you know what, I take that back. I felt like I had nowhere to go. But the truth was, I could have gone back home to my grandparents. And I think that when we're in those situations, sometimes we feel like we're all alone or we have nowhere to go. But the truth is, we do have somewhere to go, but we just don't want anyone to know because we're ashamed and we feel guilty. Unfortunately, that's what happens. Go ahead.
And that's why I go back to say the shame part. That's when you have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive, okay, I made this mistake in this relationship that I know that wasn't good for me. I put myself in danger. That's when you have to totally forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself to live again. You can't, and you have to forgive your abuser. And that was one of the hardest things that I think that I've ever had to deal with, was forgiving the abuser. You have to do that. You have to let yourself be free. So what I would say to anybody who's ashamed, yeah, you're going to feel the shame, but let that shame, get over that. And forgive yourself and walk into what God has called you. God wants you to live. God wants you to have abundant life. He wants you to be whole, for real. Not something, you know, that, like I said, things are, you're never going to forget. You're not ever going to forget what you want. But what you went through was for somebody else. I know that what I went through was just not for Kia, but I knew Kia had to live again. And the only way Kia had to live again and right go forth and make you was I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself. You have to speak to somebody that's in that type of relationship. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for letting your guard down, being in a relationship that you thought that was good for you. Look at me, I'm getting excited. That you thought was good. It's not. Let God intervene. Let people come into your life. Listen to those people who have words of wisdom, who's trying to tell you right. Listen to them. There is a way out. Please, whoever I'm talking to, there's a way out. Share this with somebody. We know somebody who is in an abusive relationship or is battling coming out of it, because it's a process coming out of it as well. It just doesn't stop there. My second book that I think that I'm going to write is that you survive the abuse, now survive the process.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Wow.
It's a process in everything that we do, good or bad. Whatever the next level that you're stepping into, whatever you're coming out of, there is a process. And we need more people like you and your husband, you know, sharing this type of thing, sharing about abuse, talking about molestation, talking about being in a marriage, being in church in a abuse. Because that's another thing that we need to touch on. That's going on. You know, that's going on in a church house that people don't want to talk about. You talking about being ashamed? Can you be ashamed knowing that your pastor is beating on your first lady? I'm just hypothetically.
Yes. Talk about it.
But it goes on. It goes on. And I thank God for this platform. This is my first talk show, radio show, and I thank you guys, and I thank you for the platform. But it's real. We need to let our teenagers
it. I know that was in my spirit too, and you brought it up. Ain't that so nice? Like the Lord was just telling me about the Tyler Perry movie. Was it Diary of an Angry Black Woman? Yeah. And it's like I was just feeling like there's like a lot of people in church who gets mentally, physically, or whatever kind of abuse, and it's like they will hold on. It's like they hold on to it, but they won't make their husbands look good, and so they keep it quiet while they're so broken inside. And Lord was telling me like this is what a lot of women are doing, like so they can look good.
You're absolutely right. It's time out for that. And I also say to the men, you're your wife's covenant. You're supposed to cover them. Mm-hmm. How can you raise your hand to them? How can a bad word come out of your mouth towards them? Their covering. Men, stand up and be real and cover your wife's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Cover your, and it needs to be more men and husbands talking about this as well. Me and my husband, we both have the coaching, so he's talking to the men. He's trying to get the men that are actually in prison for domestic violence, and they're coming out, the ones who want their lives changed. He's trying to, get a hold to the younger guys. Mm-hmm. This is not the way that you love your wife. I mean, this is just not how it happens. So we're definitely on a mission, and we have accepted the assignment from God. A counselor, so we're using his counseling methods. I'm a nurse, and then we're also bringing in the spiritual aspect on it.
Yeah,
so there's definitely a plan in motion, and God is ready to expose this thing. So it's vessels I'm sticking up for one to be used by God.
Right.
That's powerful. Right before the show, my husband and I were talking, and one of the things that he said was, well, I guess it'd just be you and her because I don't know, how I can, add to this. And I told him, I said, well, you being a man, like we need you up here, because a lot of men kind of shy away from this kind of thing because they think that they don't have a voice in it. So I love the fact that you and your husband, you do this together, and because the men definitely have a voice in this. And I think that the problem is not enough men's voices are heard when it comes to domestic violence and or sexual abuse.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's like for the men, it's like if a man will say like a woman is abusing him, it's like the man will get laughed at because they'll look at their physique or just how strong he is, and it's like our ego is very fragile, so it's like they start like laughing at us, and but we know it's true, we getting abused, men getting abused too, and it's like we're holding in and be like, well, we don't want to be like the laughing stock of anything, because they'll just be like, oh, you're so big, how can this little woman beat on you or verbally abuse you. It happens, unfortunately.
And guess what? That man may take it from that woman, but then what happens? If he takes so much from a woman abusing him, 9 out of 10, he'll become an abuser in his next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That is true.
And that goes vice versa. Again, if my husband wasn't patient with me, I could have been the meanest thing in my marriage. I could have, been the meanest person, but because of his love and his patience is what changed me and not made me think of my past and totally get healed and delivered.
That's right. Certainly right.
I'm going to take it back to your book, the questions. I'm going to kind of take this back to your book. What would you want your readers to focus on as they read Go Forth Amazing You?
Well, what I want them to focus on is the whole part of me becoming whole, and also that big word that we don't want to talk about or we don't want to do, and that's forgiveness.
Mm.
I want the readers to know. know that it was a process for me. This did not happen for me overnight. I totally let go. I will say I've been married now for 8 years. I totally let go, I would say, 2 years ago.
Wow.
So for 6 years in my marriage now, I was holding on to the abuse part. I was holding on the molestation. I just told my mother that I was molested. She didn't even know.
Wow.
And not only was I molested by a man, I was molested by a woman as well. She didn't know any of that. I just let that out. So what I want the readers to know, don't be ashamed. Talk to somebody. Let somebody know what you're feeling inside. It's good to talk. It's good to let it go. And when you're in a situation, you have to find someone that you can get a hold to and just really spill everything out. Don't hold anything in, because number one, when you hold it in, you become angry.
Yeah.
When you hold different things in, you begin holding the malice and you start thinking crazy things. I always think back to Tina Campbell when, you know, she went through what she went through with her husband,
mm-hmm.
how she turned into this person that she said, I really wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't ashamed to say that. And that's the first step of telling. You have to let it out. You have to let it out. And you've got to say, God, look, it's me. This your daughter. You already knew that this was going to happen to me. I need you to come in and fix this. I need for you to show me what it is that I need to do to get out. And this is why Go Forth Amazing You is one of the blueprints that I designed to show women in this type of thing. This is the way for you to get out. And again, I'm no expert, but I do believe that what I went through is enough to qualify me to tell somebody this is the process that helped me get out. And it was God, number one. And that's it. It was God.
Yeah.
And wanting to not, you got to want to not to let, to hold on to this stuff. You got to want to let it go.
Yeah.
You can be the victim all day long, but isn't it better to be victorious?
Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Thank you, God.
That has sparked something, because I did have a question. Now, like, we know, you know, we're supposed to give, you know, the Lord is the answer, you know, for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's also people who don't even want to try the Lord, but still want to be healed. Like, what would you say? What would you say to them who don't want the Lord?
But,
going in and out. Just people who, you know, who wants to be healed, but they don't want the Lord, because, you know, we know that, you know, we have to give everything over to the Lord, because he can do everything.
Right.
But there's some people who don't believe that, but they still want to be healed. So, like, what would you say to people like that?
Well, what I would say to psychologists, if you don't want God to steer your life, then that would be the next best thing, but I guarantee you, once you try the spirit, you will never want to let it go.
Yeah,
of course.
If, you know, for the people who don't want to go that way, then yes, you need to have some type of professional counseling. Definitely.
Awesome, because, you know, this is I know there's people watching who, you know, they don't care nothing about the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I just felt like we all should be able to minister to both sides. Because I'm like, we're not just supposed to be here just for believers who's been molested or anything. There's other people who's been through it, who's not believers at all.
Right.
You know?
And that's why I have to incorporate in the book as well, my spirituality and also practical advice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Have to mix the two, because not everybody you encounter believe in your God or believe that your God can heal them. But it is our job, number one, to be a light and show them that our God can heal them totally. But again, psychiatry and psychologists would be the next best step. But I'm still holding on to God as the number one answer.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't know if I asked. I probably did ask. well, I'll ask. You could just tell me if I did. What would you say to the husbands who basically people like me, you know, who has a wife who been through that, and like, you know, what would you say to people like me to like be like more supportive towards someone who been through stuff like that, like molestation and other kind of damage?
What I would say is to continue to prayer, number one, definitely cover your wife, praying and knowing, just letting her vent, let her, and I'm just not talking to you per se, but just let her vent, let her tell you how she's feeling. Don't hush her, don't shush her, just be that open ear, because again, getting it out is like one of the best reliefs ever. So don't keep her in a box. Let her vent and tell you exactly how, you know, how she's feeling. Even if there's something that you can't relate to at the time, and then you seek. Then after she tells you what she's feeling, then you go into prayer, or you go and do research up on that emotion that she's having that day, and find out, okay, how can I dig into this more to help my wife? Mm-hmm. Love her on her even more when she doesn't want those kisses or when she doesn't want those hugs. You know, we as women, we go through emotional things anyway, but don't stop being you. That's number one.
Wow.
Don't stop being you. Continue to love on her unconditionally. Never let her go. Let her know that you are her protector, because that was one of my biggest things. I wanted my husband to protect me. I needed to know that he was my protector no matter what. Even if it was an off day, if it was a day that I made him mad or he wasn't feeling me that day, I still needed to know that he was my protector no matter what. So be her protector and always love her.
That's powerful. Yeah, I got tears in my eyes, girl. I'm about to sit here and start crying, because that's 100% right. Having gone through abuse, you know, that's the number one thing that a wife needs. We need to know that no matter what, our husband, he's still there, and he's not going to change up on us, because, you know, based on things in the past, you're used to that. You know, you're used to this switcheroo. But when you just remain the same, you know, speaks volumes. Just speaks volumes. And I thank God for blessing me with a husband that no matter what my mood swing is that day, he continues to remain the same.
I thank God for, you know, my man of God as well, because no matter what, he keeps his mannerism and his love for me never changes, and that's important. I'm like you. I know. I always say I had to kiss my frog to finally get my frog.
Yes. I love that.
And I think you did the same.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I'm so grateful. So I know that we've gone over our 30 minutes, and I knew we would. I knew we would. So I that's why I say 30 minutes, because hey, if it's 45, that's cool. I'm okay with that. especially when we're talking about something that that people definitely need awareness of. Domestic violence is usually hidden and silenced, and we just want to allow you to, you know, this opportunity to speak up, speak loud, and speak boldly, because that's what God has placed in you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, and we just thank you so much for joining us on today. We still got a couple more questions, though, if you're up to it.
Okay.
I don't have nothing. It's going to be all her.
What was the hardest part of writing Go Forth Amazing You?
The hardest part was knowing that my daughters were going to know about the molestation. And even though they went through the whole abuse thing with me, I think that was the most hardest part. But I thank God for them that their mindset was open, and all they see now is like love. I mean, I can't go wrong. They get, you know, overshowered with love. So I think that was like one of the hardest things to actually write, and for them to hear me speak and to know that, you know, I was molested by a man and a woman. I think that was one of the hardest things to let out. But I did it, and I feel good. It doesn't bother me anymore. I know my openness is saving someone else.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
How did you feel once your book was published? I'm sure we have some people up here who, you know, God may have given them a story to, you know, their story too, to share, and they just really have to expose it to the world. So I know that you sharing the hardest part of writing your book will help them. So how did you feel once the book was finished and published? We want these listeners to know.
So I didn't hear the last part.
Okay. How did you feel once your book was finished and published?
Okay. I felt a sigh of relief. I felt my assignment had just begun because with the book coming out, it opened doors like for you guys to inquire for me to, you know, to talk. I'm just opening up more speaking engagements. So I knew the journey would begin, and that was like just I was happy. And I knew that it was the right, I knew it was the assignment that God called me to fulfill. And I know it's just the beginning of the journey. I'm happy because I know that it's going to help other people. I know that it's going to help other women. I know that it's going to help other men, teenagers. I just want to say, so writing a book and getting it published and having it out there, I know that the doors are going to open. I already know that. It's not about the fame or the popularity. Mm-hmm. I really want to see God's people healed and delivered, souls saved. I don't want their hindrances in their past to keep them in bondage. That's what I know this book is going to do. I know it is. I just know it is.
Yeah. Yeah, when God has given you something, like, I don't... how do I explain it? When God has given you an assignment, it's like you can see the end result of it.
Right.
And it's so much bigger than what we see at the current moment, you know, but sometimes we find ourselves fixed on what's going on right at this second when God is saying, no, just look further down the road. Look at the lives that you're going to be changed because of what it is that you've grown through. Because a lot of times, you know, and sometimes we look at a domestic violence situation. I know that I'm pretty sure that when I was in it, I was saying, God, why me, kind of thing, you know? But I knew all along that God didn't want me in that relationship. I knew I had no business being with the man that I was with because I knew God. I knew him. I grew up in church. I had such a call on my life, but I was running from it. And many times that's what happens with domestic violence. We put ourselves in a situation, but then we blame God for it. And Papa's like, I didn't do this, you know, and that's what he's saying. Like, sweetie, I didn't do this. Daughter, I did not do this. You know, son, I did not do this. This was your own choosing, but that does not mean that you're alone.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Sometimes we feel alone in those things, and God, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, even with that, you know, when I first finished the book and I put it out and I put it on Amazon, and you know what else, being in a type of relationship and just, you know, thinking of things that we do to ourselves, we self-sabotage our own selves. because we heard so much in our past relationship, or you're nothing, you know, nobody wants to hear anything from you. So at first, you know, the enemy was talking in my ear, ain't nobody going to buy this book, you know, you wrote this just for your own, you know, purpose, your own whatever, you know, it's not going to affect anyone's lives. You know, all this was going through my head at first, but I pressed through it, and I remember, like you said, you sometimes just know the end result because God has given you a snapshot of what the end result is going to be, and you know that it's going to save lives. So I pressed through that and said, you know what, if only one person buys my book, then that's the one person that needed to hear it.
Yeah.
That's the one person who's going to get delivered out of their situation. So sometimes you have to talk yourself through it because, like I said, you don't forget. You never forget, but you use that. You use that for the better. You use that to take someone out of what they are in. Rejection was a big thing. Like, okay, everybody, you know, nobody's buying a book. You know, all this stuff that I was thinking, you know, in my head or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of rejection came back again, and that's another thing that you go through, and that's another thing that I talk about in the book. I felt all of this, but let me tell you. Rejection is not the end of it. If you think about rejection, rejection is like your own mindset, what you're thinking that other person is going to do. Who says that it's really going to happen? That's your own thought thinking that somebody is not going to buy the book. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was coming out right, but it's your own thought pattern that keeps you hostage. So once you get out of that mind frame and just go forth and be amazing, then it will just all work out for the better. It'll work out for everybody. It's everybody that you cross paths with. And again, I'm just thankful that God chose me to be His vessel.
Yeah.
People ask me, would you go through it again? Yeah, I'll go through it again for God to get the
thing. Yeah.
Jesus. Again, it's not about me. And that's what we all need to get in our mindset. You know, everybody wants the fame. Everybody wants, you know, to be out here, you know, publicized and on this speaking engagement and in this seminar and up on this Facebook. No, what is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal here is saving lives and souls.
Jesus, yeah.
It's kingdom building. There's so many people out here dying. And it hurt. My heart aches to know that another woman may be going through what I went through, and I can't help steer them in the right direction. At least steer them in the right direction.
Yeah. Jesus.
That's the mission.
Amen. Yes. And I know that you are touching lives on tonight. I know that you are.
Thank you, God.
God is so good.
Yes, He is. He is really good. That's why I was determined. I'm getting up out of this day. I had surgery last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is my day. No, like I told you, we're going to do this. So there's so for, you know, even if it's just, you know, a little people on now, I do believe that people are going to share and that people are going to come back to the recording and just share this with somebody. Please share it with somebody. Share.
Yeah.
Man, you guys are doing an amazing job. I mean, I love that you took this another level platform to even do this, the Facebook Live and the radio talk show. It is needed. I mean, it is needed. And I thank God for you all. So I'm praying for you both and for your ministry always.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen.
What, you had something?
Nah, you know.
Okay.
I did, but nah, you won't say it.
You're not going to say it?
Yeah. Yes, I will. I was sitting here thinking about when you were saying when you were saying rejection. And I'm just a special type of dude. What came to me was, you know, sometimes we just need to drop that R from rejection to ejection, like to get ejected. you know, because I just felt like the Lord was saying God is going to start ejecting some things out of people's lives.
Jesus.
He's going to move that R.
Wow. Amen. Wow.
I didn't hear nothing she said. What'd you say?
That's awesome. Oh. I like that. And you know what? My battery's getting low, so I don't want you guys to get cut off.
Oh, all right.
Yes, we heard you. So I just want you, before we go, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Before we go, I just want you to, are you hearing me? Oh, okay. I just want you to share with us what makes this book different, and then you can give us your information of where we can get Go Forth Amazing You. Where can we make this purchase?
Okay. What makes this book different is, you know, I'm giving you a little bit of my life. I'm giving you spirituality, and I'm also giving you, you know, coaching and professional counseling. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I didn't want to focus just on this one part of it. I wanted to give you all of it. I wanted to give you a mixture of everything so that perfect cake can come out. So now that perfect cake.
Awesome.
So that's what makes it so different. And you can find the book on Amazon.com. Go Forth Amazing You. Today is your day. And you can also email me at LakiaGrifflin0@gmail.com. If you have any questions or any prayer or anything like that, definitely you can email me and give me your prayer request, and I'll definitely go into prayer. But definitely get the book this month. It's $5 because it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I am selling the book this month only for $5.
Wow.
And part of the proceeds will go to the foundation.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on today, Lakia. Sorry that we drained your battery over there.
No problem.
We enjoyed having you on. Hello?
Can you hear me?
No, it's going in and out a little bit.
Okay. No, I was saying thank you and love you guys. So much.
Oh, we love you. And we'll go ahead and we'll post Lakia's information in the comments for you, the information that she shared with you all on tonight. Please share. Those of you who have come on, share. Those of you who are watching the recording, share. Just continue to please share this, because there's so many out there that are in domestic violence relationships and they need this information so they too can be free. Thank you again, Lakia. We love you, and we will be in touch.
Okay, honey. God bless.
God bless you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Oh, here, you
got it. What are you saying?
No.
Okay. Whew, that was a good show.
Yeah.